The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, boy, wasn't that good, amen? That is just so good. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look in verse 8, where the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." What I'm going to do this morning is a little bit unique. I'm going to express several reasons why socialism should not be acceptable in America. But I want to give you, if I may, also in lieu of that, why it's so important that we remain that which is a country that is free. I'm talking about free from government control when it comes to your finances and your daily living. And I believe that capitalism is what has made America great. And I believe we ought to stay always in that direction. The Communistic Manifesto was written by Karl Marx and also by Frederick Engels in 1848. It was right before the revolutions took place in 1848 that swept out through all of Europe. And they used the term over and over again, scientific socialism. In the third part, if you would please, the latter part of the 19th century, social democratic party started to arise in Europe and started to sweep all over, by the way, keeping the same main doctrine that would underlie that which is communism and socialism. Now, these two are separate and they are different, but they do connect in several places, one feeding the other. So you might say that one is the mother and one is the child, such as in communism, they would take people's properties, they would take people's possessions by force. In socialism, a little bit different, what they do is they take the same type of properties and the same type of things that's owned by people by coercion. And what they're doing is they try to convince somebody, they philosophize with somebody, they try to bring somebody to their side of the table, showing only the good, quote, if there would be any good possibilities of it. But the good is always entangled with so many things of poison, and it doesn't show those things. Now, here's a story in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27, where Jesus is using a passage. He talks about a nobleman that goes to a foreign country to receive an inheritance. And of course, the inheritance is given to him. And before he leaves, he calls all of his servants in, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to give you all a little money. I want you to take this money that I give you, and as I go over to receive my inheritance, I'm giving you this money, and you go and you do with it and gain profit." Well, he returns. Luke chapter 19 and verse 16, as he returns, he calls the first servant in, and that servant then, the Bible says, came the first saying, "The Lord," it says, "thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now the nobleman answers him, the nobleman says this in verse 17, that same chapter, and he said unto him, "Well done, thou good servant." Listen to what he says. He says, "Because thou hast been faithful over a very little, I have made the authority over 10 cities. Then the second servant comes in verse 18. We're in that same chapter, if you will, or if you're just listening, Luke chapter 19 and in verse 18. So the second servant comes, says, "Lord," he says, "thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And the nobleman answers him in verse 19, where he says, "Be thou also over 5 cities. Then the third servant comes, verses 20 through 21, and in just verse 21 is what I'll read. And he says, "Lord," he says, "behold," he says, "here is thy pound," he says, "which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee." Now, he didn't do anything with it. Well, look at the nobleman's response, if you will, down in verse 24, or listen to it as I read. The nobleman's response to the failing servant was this, and he said unto them, he says, "that stood by, take from him the pound and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. So in this portion of Scripture, not only this portion of Scripture, you see that God blesses work. And God, because God blesses work, God rewards work. Here's a man that was given a pound, turned it into 10. He says, you'll be reigning over 10 cities. Here's a man that was given a pound and he was given 5. And God said, you'll be reigning over 5 cities, if you would please give this as an example. And then here's a man, I was given a pound, he went and hid the pound. He said, I'm just not going to do anything with it. All right. Well, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You go out into the cornfield, you don't sow any corn, you're not going to reap any corn. You go out to the wheat field and you don't sow any wheat, you're not going to reap any wheat. You go out into the labor force and you decide to be somebody's lazy and you're not going to work. The Bible principle is that you should not eat. All right. And so we understand that God believes, I'm firmly convinced that he rewards those and believes that as you so do work, so will your reward be. Now, this thing about socialism, what is socialism? Socialism basically is we do away with private ownership, we do away with private business ownership and property ownership, if you will. The government comes in and the government primarily runs the businesses and the agencies of that which is the country. And so communism would come in by force. That which is socialism comes in by convincing, tries to convince people that the government can do a better job than that which is the citizens of a country. By the way, when communism takes it by force, you'll see over and over again, you'll see countries that blood was shed. Blood was shed. When you see that which is a socialistic country, you'll see that it is by force, and there may be, and most time is, blood shed. But can I tell you, they come in, if you would, trying to coerce people to come under them by pressure of taking things away that they rightfully have earned, that is rightfully theirs, and they disperse it among the people. A communist man went to a Baptist preacher one day and said this. He said, communism. Oh, he was so proud. He said, communism has put a new suit on that man. The Baptist preacher waited for a minute as he got done giving his vivid illustration using such phrases as that. And the Baptist preacher said to the communist, he said this, he said, Christianity has put a new man in the suit. All right, so there's a big, big difference. We understand this. There is the Robin Hood syndrome. That is to rob from the rich and give to the poor. But that's not a Bible principle. Again, communism is by force and socialism is by persuasion. And so what does the Bible talk about this which is socialism compared to the way that God says that ought to be? Let me give you some Bible principles. By the way, it's always good to go back to your Bible. Amen. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches private ownership of property. Private ownership of property. It's expressed in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. In order to thou shalt not steal, there has to be something to steal and someone to steal from. And so it's talking about the stealing of a property. If I was to steal your car, it would be your car that I stole because you own it. If I was to steal your house, it would be your house that you own because I stole it. The Bible teaches about property ownership. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, the Bible says, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife. It says, for his manservant, nor, it says, maidservant, nor ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now it's talking about the animals, if you would please. In today's connotation, instead of a mule or instead of an ass or instead of an ox, it would be a tractor or it'd be a plow or it'd be a truck. All right. And God is saying one should not only not steal it, but don't covet after that. The Bible teaches about private property. Socialism teaches that the property should be owned by the government and the government should decide how to disperse it to all people. Now, can I tell you, God's not for that. Amen. Let me express it again so you can say a big hearty amen. God is not for that. We understand this over in Venezuela. Gun ownership became illegal 2012. today. In 2000, well, just at the end of last year is where I got my statistic from. At the end of last year, 2018, Venezuela became the third highest murder capital of the world. Did you know that most gun shootings that take place since 1950 in the United States, listen to it now, since 1950 in the United States, mass public shootings, 97.8% of them occurred in gun-free zones. Now, can I tell you, socialism says, no, let the government protect you, don't protect yourself, you don't need to own a gun, you don't need to protect your own self. Now, I'm telling you, there's still, as a part of our constitutional right, to be able to defend our own selves. Boy, I thank God we have a security department here. I thank God for that. I thank God that you're under the watchful care of good, good men that care for you in various areas, all throughout the buildings and all throughout the property, and with the camera systems that we have and stuff like that. You say, well, why do you go to such extreme? Well, it might be because we love you. I'm saying this. I'm saying the Bible teaches about private ownership. Statement number one. Statement number two, the Bible teaches that it is good for individuals to receive profit. The Bible teaches it's good for individuals to receive profit. If you go back to the nobleman story, Luke chapter 19, you'll see that Jesus is praising them for earning a profit. Socialism teaches that it's wrong for a man to earn profit above somebody else. It should be equally given. That's not what the Bible teaches. You read the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, you'll see that Jesus clearly shows that there's profit for the labor as the farmer is now sowing seed into that which is the soil. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, and other fell on good ground and sprung up, it says, bear fruit 100-fold. Now, what was happening? God was blessing the sowing of the seed. Now, how much was God blessing in this particular example? As he would be able to sow the seed, God made sure that it was going to be 100 times what he had sowed. But there was the sowing first. The sowing first. And it was by the sweat of the brow of that person sowing. That discourages, if you would please, somebody that goes against that philosophy, entrepreneurship. It discourages that which is profit. But can I tell you that an economy should sustain itself by a working class of people? Look, I'm all for helping people. We help more poor people in this church by reaching out to them and helping. We run 13 to 14 bus routes to pick up people that are underprivileged that don't have a way to be able to come to church. We care about the poor people. We feed people. We try to help people with clothing and things of that nature. But we don't do it because the government tells us we have to do it. We do it because God shows us in the Bible that's a way to be able to show people that you love people and help people and encourage people to go the right way. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand that the Bible teaches private ownership of property. Statement number next. The Bible teaches that it is good for individuals to receive a profit. It's good for individuals to do that. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, and the other fell on good ground. Luke 8 and 8, the Bible says, and sprang up, and it says, and bear fruit 100-fold, I said. So it's good to be able to receive. Statement number next, the Bible teaches that it is right to save money, invest money, and get wealth. Bible teaches that's right. Now, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you ought not let money own you. You ought to own money. Oh, don't say, well, I tell you what, I feel bad for driving a nice car. If you earned it, you ought not feel bad about it. Now, if you stole it, you ought to be turned in. I think the person gets out there and they work by the sweat of their brow, they ought to be able to eat a steak. I wish you'd say amen. If you can afford bologna, eat bologna. And be proud of it. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God teaches about return. So it is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says to honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. He says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here's what God says. God says to honor him with our substance. So what do we do? All right, well, I practice this. My children has practiced this. And my dear wife, of course, Herbie and I together in our finances, we practice this together. When God gives us something, we tithe off of it. That's a substance. God gives me a suit, I'll go figure out how much the suit is, I'll figure it up, and I'll pay a tithe off of what it would have cost me had I had to buy the suit myself. God gives me I want to honor the Lord with my substance. I want to give back to him. Now, here's the blessing of it. Here's the blessing of it. Here's the blessing of it. The Bible says here, so shall thy barns be filled by the government. No, God fills the barns. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, by the way, this is talking about an individual that honors God with their substance, okay? And so the person who practices capitalism, if you would please, I believe will be more blessed. They'll be more blessed. You say, I don't have enough money. Well, then go get yourself another job. You know, a person that doesn't believe in capitalism, but they believe in socialism. You know what happens? It produces a lazy society. People, if you would please, that don't work, don't get tired. That's why they get in trouble. People living off the government. Well, I can't wait for my check to come in. But here's what they do. They just wait around. And then they get bored, so they go out and beat somebody up. They go out, if you would please, and rob a store. Hey, why don't you get out there, go volunteer on a farm someplace, and tell that farmer, hey, show me how to shovel. Amen. Show me how to work. I think you need help from time to time. You know what they did in the Old Testament? Here's what they did. In the Old Testament, those that own farms, here's what they were told to do. Leave the corner of your farms for those that have need, and let them come along and let them be able to work and to get the corn off of the edge of the farm. Now, I love you. But there was a day when America knew how to work. Yeah. And today we're raising a society where, well, you know, all they know is how to play video games. All they know is just how to play basketball. All they know is how to go out and pretend that they're big stuff or walking through the neighborhood. Hey, can I tell you, I think what you ought to do is go out and get yourself a decent job and prepare for marriage and prepare for having babies and prepare to be a good citizen in the United States of America. Oh, you think about socialism. Socialism wants to reward everyone evenly. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's no socialism. Hello. I'm saying this. I'm saying the Bible teaches private ownership of property. Statement number one. The Bible teaches. Statement number two. The Bible teaches that it is good for an individual to receive profit. Statement number three. The Bible teaches that it's right to save money, invest money, and get wealth. Statement number four. The Bible teaches that families are to take care of their own. Take care of their own. Not the government. The families. The families. Okay? How do you do that? Well, you labor. How do you do that? Well, you earn. How do you do that? Well, you save. How do you do that? Well, then you accumulate wealth and you buy the things that you need. Goes back to that principle we found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8 where it talks about not providing for his own, okay? You know, I'm supposed to take care of my household as Mike Welch's household. Now, I can choose how to do that. I can be a lazy bird and not go out and get a job and say, honey, I'm sorry, we'll never be able to go out to eat. We'll have peanut butter and jelly all the days of our life. Welcome to my house. I could say this. I tell you what, dear, all the days of my life, I like baloney. I like baloney. And so I'd rather sit around and play my video games and us just eat baloney than to go out and make a dollar so that I could take you out on a nice date. Hello. I'm saying this. I'm saying the Bible teaches here the way that it ought to be. My dear wife worked in a bank for years. One of the things she did was a safety deposit box. Another one is she was a teller, and then she did some other things with individual customers. You know what they taught her when she was a young girl? She started working at a bank, and she started working at the bank at the age of 17 or so, they taught her to study the real thing. By studying the real thing, you automatically saw what the fake thing was. Now, I'm saying this. The Bible gives us a pattern to follow. If it's not the pattern that we should be following, then anything that is not a biblical pattern should stick out like a sore thumb. All right, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that if a man does take a job, he's to have earnings from that job. The Bible teaches that a man is supposed to work. He is supposed to accumulate wealth. He is supposed to take care of his own family. Then we see this. The Bible teaches the concept of sowing and reaping. Listen to this. This is so good. This will encourage your heart if I've discouraged you all morning long. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived." Aren't you glad about that? "God is not mocked." Aren't you glad about that? "For whatsoever a man soweth," here it comes, "that shall he also reap." So according to this, the harder a man works, the more he reaps. The harder a man works, the more he reaps. Oh, you say this. You say, "Well, you just don't understand. The work is so hard." Oh, but man was made to work. Don't worry about, "Oh, I'm afraid I'll get my fingers dirty." You need them dirty. "I'm afraid I'll use my brain too much." It will not pop. Man was made to provide. And many times it takes two households, even today, to provide, depending on the expense that you choose to live under, or the bills that you've incurred because of perhaps poor judgments, or maybe emergencies even that you've come through. And from time to time, there takes two in order to be able to supply. I understand that, of course. But can I say this? Can I say that the Bible teaches here the concept of sowing and reaping? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says, "For even it says, when ye were this, we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." I know. And I do. I have compassion on people. Yes, I do. But it bothers me sometimes when I ride down the road and here's a fella standing in front of a McDonald's sign that says, "Now hiring." And he holds up a sign that says, "I will work for food." One day I rolled down my window and I said, "Right behind you, there's a sign." They said they'll hire you, and I happen to know they pay. And he said, "Thank you very much. Have a good day." And so I drove off, but I tried to help there just a little bit and pointing him into a right direction. And by the way, let me say this, and you can testify. We help so many people here. Because of where we live, people stop off all the time. I'm talking about all the time. They stop off. "Do you have food? Can you pay my gas bill?" Now, we don't do that, but we'll give food away. And we'll try and help as much as we can. And but still, it's amazing how people, it's amazing to me how people get their priorities all messed up. People come up, and they do. They get their priorities all messed up. They come up and they say, can you pay my electric bill? And yet they have cable TV. That blows my mind. You know, they got a cell phone. It's more expensive. They got the newest one just came out. And I think priorities are messed up. It's kind of messed up, don't you think so? All right? Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. We understand this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And we hear that there are some which walketh among you disorderly, worketh not at all, but are busy bodies." You ever wonder how come so many people have so much time to go to these marches and riots? You know, a real working man don't have time for that. We don't have time. How are we going to take off? We can't take off to go to a march somewhere. Amen. All right. The Bible says, now them, it says, that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work, and it says, and eat their own bread. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we learn in our Bible, and I'll give it to you, and I'll close here. The Bible says the Bible teaches that there's private ownership of property. The Bible teaches that it's good for individuals to receive a profit. The Bible talks about how it's right for a man to save money, to invest money, to get wealth. The Bible talks about and teaches that a man should take care of his own family. The Bible teaches that there is the law of sowing and reaping, and then I'm done, and here it is. Socialism hurts the character of an entire country. Socialism hurts the character of an entire country. You know, we could turn America into poverty in a short span of time if we decide that's who we want in our offices in America. It's true. It's so true. You know, they've got a wrong president in Venezuela. And because they got a wrong president in Venezuela, what's taking place is he's leading the entire society into socialism. Who you put in office can take you down a wrong track. It can take you down a wrong track. These people are saying, well, you know, in America, it should be that the government controls all the medical. We decide as government. Oh, I don't want the government to decide what type of medical I get. Amen. No, 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 no. Government doesn't have your best interests at heart. All they're going to do is tax you more. I'm not anti-government. I'm pro-God. Amen. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. That there is no work, now listen to it, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whether thou goest. And so a person ought to decide that whatever they do to earn money, then it ought to be honorable to God. However, they ought to do with all of their might. Amen. My daddy used to get up, and he worked in Baltimore City at the Maryland National Bank. When we were just younger boys, he decided he didn't want to raise his boys in the city. And so we lived on Hickory Avenue in Baltimore City. But he decided he did not want to raise the boys in the city. So Mama tells me the story. And so so what took place is he decided he wanted to go out to the country up the road a little piece, 45 minutes up the road, to build his own homestead. Well, he didn't want to pay anybody to build it because, after all, you know, he wanted to save himself a little bit of money. So it took him about 6 to 8 years to build it. When he got it done by the hand of his own labor and by some friends of his that would come in from time to time, and Mama also helping out, he built his own place. Man, he built it, and it was just a nice, nice place. But it was a 45-minute hitch up the road from where he worked at the Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. Now, can I tell you, Dad wasn't no lazy man. He'd get us up early in the morning. He had to leave the house early in the morning. And I never will forget those mornings. He'd wake us up at 4:45, always 4:45, never after 4:45. 4:45, boys are sitting around, 4:45, boys are sitting around at 4:45. You say, what do you think about that today? That's an ungodly hour. But don't forget, Daddy wasn't saved till later. But 4:45, and so he woke us up at 4:45. He'd sit us boys around the table, and he'd say, okay, here's your chores for today. Now, here's what I expect you to get done. Here's your chores for today. Now, but you know, after being woke up that often for so many years, you get used to working. You get used to laboring. And what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that it's important for us. And you don't have to, I'm not saying wake your teenager up at 4:45 in the morning. That's not necessarily what you have to do to build character in their life. But I am saying this, you ought to teach them how to work.
Amen.
Don't just pay their way for everything.
That's right.
Don't just do that. Oh, my daddy laid down some stuff, and he said, I realize that you're in track and field, and he said, I realize you're not out working outside. He said, I'll make you a deal. He said, if you go down there to that south field, we're going to do doing some planting. He said, that's where I want to put the garden this year. He said, I got it all roped off where I want it. He said, you go down there, get all those weeds out of there. You till that thing. You make sure it is fit and proper for planting. And he said, when it comes time, I want it right. He says, I tell you what, I'll pay you $2 for it. Say, were you excited about that? Not on your life. Are you kidding me? But it was better than what I was getting. Oh, my daddy, he had some. My brother spoiled it for everyone. My brother, he's in heaven today. I can talk about him. My daddy gave Dave a car, and Dave wrecked that car within 6 months, totaled the car. Daddy come walking in the living room. He said, I have an announcement. I thought, oh, whenever daddy does that, it's never good. He come walking in the living room and said, I got an announcement. Look up here, boys. Look at me. I had three brothers. He said, look up at me. He said, never again will I buy anybody in this house that's one of my sons a car. We looked at Dave and said, thanks. He said, you're going to go out and you're going to work. He said, and I don't care how you get there. You can walk or you can run. He said, but you're not going to get a car until you can pay for it cash. Pay for the insurance for a whole year cash. And prove to me that you can put fuel in it for 3 months. Then I'll let you buy a car. I was 19 years old before I was allowed to get my license because I couldn't afford to buy a car. But I tell you what, I went out and bought myself one of the fanciest cars you've ever seen. I bought me a red car, black stripes down the side of it, checkered black seats. And my four-cylinder Vega, and I went down the road. But I saved up for it, and it was mine.
Amen.
It's mine. I took care of it. I fed it oil every week. I'm saying that socialism hurts character of the country, you know, because people are not taught to work. There's no incentive. It kills the initiative, if you would please, of getting out there and doing an excellent job. Now, may I say, some people think that our government is that which is the Savior. Our government is not the Savior, my dear friend. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, you say, preacher, please pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. There's a doubt, there's a reservation, there's a lack of peace.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.